Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart. Thank you so much for joining me here another week, another warm one. Wow, it still feels like summer and I'm loving it. It's not too hot, not too cold. It's just right. That's why they call me Goldilocks. It's the kind of weather where I can go outside in a t-shirt and maybe shorts or some light mid-calf leggings and do some work outside and not be sweating my butt off, but be comfortable. There's a slight breeze blowing, but not enough rain. And the sun's been out, so hopefully everybody's gotten a chance to get outside and enjoy a little bit of this, even if it's just for a few minutes a day, and take a look upward in that chemtrail-covered sky, but just relax. I've been working on getting my stuff bottled up here for the winter, slowly putting my little Italian mamooches away, my little statues from the garden, and slowly getting my yard ready for the winter season. But it's been so gorgeous out that I haven't taken any plants in yet off of my back deck. It's still my oasis. I love it out there. And hopefully you have some place to enjoy outside where you can relax and just be, to observe the sights and sounds of nature and just enjoy life. Take a breath and relax a little bit. Whether it's reading a book, listening to music, or just hanging out by yourself or with friends, please make the opportunity to get outside and just enjoy life a little bit. I've also been blowing some leaves around and getting ready to shut down my garden for the season. That's just about done, but my grapes are coming in, so that means it's almost time to make my famous Concord grape jelly. I'm so excited for that. Pretty soon it'll be time to pick some apples and make applesauce and apple pies and all of the wonderful fall apple desserts that I love so much, and maybe some apple jelly too. But you know what I'm not doing, and I hope you're not too, is doom scrolling myself into a coma. We are seekers of truth. We're survivors of the algorithm apocalypse. But thanks for coming together with me here this evening on my big comfy couch. Get your beverage, get your snacks, get relaxed, and let's start off by talking about social media is really putting on the pressure with their fear porn. And they've decided that humanity has to live on a steady diet of fear. You open your feed and all of a sudden a volcano you've never heard of is gonna erupt tomorrow. Some random preacher is screaming about the rapture again, as are people having all these dreams about the rapture. That's still happening. A CGI tsunami taller than Godzilla is supposedly headed for your coastline. And if you're lucky, there's at least one AI-generated clip of a mushroom cloud with a caption like, "Don't say we didn't warn ya." And we just eat it up like popcorn because fear sells. Fear spreads. Fear keeps you scrolling until your thumb develops carpal tunnel. But here's the truth. If we actually experienced everything the internet says is happening, we'd all be living inside a flaming underwater earthquake while angels and demons fought above us on live TV. Basically, Sharknado, but with revelation slapped on top. I swear if Nostradamus had TikTok, he'd just upload blurry green screen videos saying, "Guys, major vibe September 22nd. Stock up on Doritos and holy water. Don't ask me why." And the comments. Half the people screaming, "Repent," and the other half asking, "So, are we still going to have to go to work on Monday?" But here's the kicker. Fear makes us forget that we're alive now. While everybody's panicking about tomorrow's apocalypse, they're missing today's miracles. Like the fact that your dog still thinks you're the chosen one, or that your grandma just discovered emojis. So my message tonight, don't buy into all of the fake drama. Unsubscribe from the fear channel. If the world ends, believe me, you'll know it because you won't be able to refresh your live feed. Until then, live, laugh, meme, and remember, if Instagram says the sky is falling, it's probably just a filter. You know, it's been a strange couple of weeks online. I don't know if your feed looks like mine, but apparently, according to the internet, we should have already died like 6 times this month. A volcano in Iceland is erupting. Again, tsunamis are coming. Again, Jesus is returning, still and again, and war, famine, pestilence. Oh, honey, those are just the daily specials. Instagram is the new book of Revelation, but with more filters and worse fonts. The algorithm loves the apocalypse. Now let's get real. Why do they push this stuff? Because the algorithm loves panic. Fear's like caffeine for the internet. It's worse than me with coffee. It keeps you awake at 3 a.m., sweaty, scrolling, whispering, "Maybe I do need to build a bunker in Ohio." Every few months, it's the same thing. Mayan calendar in 2012, blood moon tetrads, planet Nibiru, the Large Hadron Collider at CERN opening portals to hell, which, that's a real thing. Psst, psst. And now, Instagram reels with titles like September 23rd, everything will change. Well, what'll change? Your phone battery percentage. That's about it. Actually, there's a little more to that, but we'll talk about that later. The natural catastrophic clickbait. They love the volcanoes, don't they? Every single week, the super volcano could blow at any second and wipe out civilization. All right, but they've been saying that since Discovery Channel documentaries in the 90s. If Yellowstone actually blew up every time they threatened, the Earth would be nothing but hot soup by now. Then we've got tsunamis. I saw a video last week that showed a wave taller than Mount Everest supposedly heading for New York. Listen, if a wave that big was coming, the last thing we'd be worried about is social media. You'd hear it before you saw it. And honestly, half of us can't even swim. We'd be gone in the first 5 seconds. And earthquakes. They show stock footage from Japan 2011, white out the Godzilla from the movie clip they stole it from, and say this is happening right now in California. Meanwhile, people in LA are sipping oat milk lattes like, nah, didn't feel it, and stepping over homeless people. The rapture and religious clickbait. We got the rapture reels. Oh boy, do we have rapture reels. People in suits shouting on the 25th of this month, Jesus will return. I saw it in a dream. Bruh. He's been returning every year since 1844. Yes, it's coming, but if he actually showed up every time somebody predicted it, he'd be out of frequent flyer miles by now. And the way they talk about it, like it's a Marvel crossover event. Coming soon to a sky near you, the Rapture Endgame Edition. And half the comments are people saying, amen, I'm ready. And the other half is asking, do I have to pay my rent? Then we got the wars and the rumors of war. And don't get me started on the war reels. Every day breaking, World War III has officially started. Well, we've kind of already known we're in a World War III situation. It's just not a war with tanks and guns right now. Because I just saw somebody doing the Wednesday Addams dance in the same app. Really? If the bombs were dropping, I don't think people would still be making slime tutorials. But the maps they show, too, the maps. Random arrows pointing at places, colored circles, dramatic music. It looks like a middle school PowerPoint. You can't trust a war map that looks like it was designed in Microsoft Paint. If you're going to predict the apocalypse, at least use good graphics. Here's what's wild. Fear is entertainment now. We binge end-of-the-world content like it's Netflix. Humanity's sick little hobby is watching its own possible demise over and over and over again. It's like we don't even want good news anymore. If tomorrow somebody posted, breaking, everything is fine. Humanity is thriving. It'd get 2 likes and a comment that says fake news. But a post of a video of an asteroid almost hitting the Earth, boom. 6 million shares, and every content creator steals that person's video and is in the bottom right-handed corner, making stupid faces, pointing up at the screen, background laughter, all this crazy stuff. Nobody can even make their own original content anymore. They gotta steal somebody else's video, half the time not give them credit, but boy, they gotta be in that bottom corner pointing up. That annoys me so much. That and all the dance moves videos that are out there. I mean, they've got no time to prepare for this doom and gloom, but they've got time to work 30 hours a week on a dance routine for a minute and a half TikTok video, or 30 seconds, or whatever TikTok does, or Instagram, or Facebook, whatever it is. Wow. A lot of time on their hands, right? For the world coming to an end. We're junkies of adrenaline. We're hooked on the drip, drip, drip of doom, though. Aren't we? But here's the cosmic joke. The world doesn't end when they say it will. But we live like it has, some of us. Stress, anxiety, doom scrolling, people skipping joy because some random dude with a TikTok filter said the 24th is the big one. But meanwhile, we're still here. The sun's still rising. Your cat's still puking on the carpet. Your grandma still thinks LOL means lots of love. Life goes on. The universe is steady while we panic about every shaky headline. So maybe, and just hear me out, instead of letting fear porn eat us alive, let's flip it, make fun of it, treat those doom predictions like bad movie trailers. You know I share the videos with you. Some of them, I think, are legitimate. I feel it, or I've had dreams about it years ago, so I know that it's a matter of time. But most of them, nonsense. Let's unsubscribe from the Fear Channel. If the apocalypse is real, trust me, you'll know. It won't need subtitles and dramatic piano music. Until then, though, go outside, hug your people, eat some pizza, make a dumb meme. Smile at the fact that in the middle of all this noise, you're still breathing. Do something nice for a neighbor. Spend time with people who matter to you, the people that really are there to love and support you, and listen to you talk for hours about all these conspiracy theories. There are conspiracy theories. It's a very real thing. A lot of them turn out to be true. Like we got this whole Charlie Kirk thing going on still. Now his wife is pregnant. And oh, by the way, did you know that Alex Jones has really totally now lost his mind? I mean, the guy is like, I've said it for a long time, he is a shill. He's controlled opposition media, and now he's selling Holy War clothing. Shop the all-new Holy Wars apparel collection. Are you kidding me? I can't even believe that this is a thing. The vitamins weren't bad enough. Now he's got to have Holy Wars apparel. And some people are out there just like, take my money. We've had this conversation. These are the times where you want to stay under the radar, first of all. So rather than wear MAGA apparel, Trump apparel, anything like this, I would be embarrassed to be wearing something like this, but don't draw attention to yourself with these people that are unhinged, that are looking to harm you simply because of what you believe in the way that you vote. And that does go for both sides of the spectrum. There's a lot of stuff going on the campuses now where the Charlie Kirk's organization there, those people, I saw a clip where they're being attacked on campus and the campus police supposedly aren't doing anything about it. I think that would depend on the campus, but we're promoting this because it's a way, again, to further divide and separate. You don't want to advertise what you believe. You want to fly under the radar. You want to stay as low-key as possible and not incite anybody's crazy irrational wrath or a street fight or even a rabid discussion about what you believe over what someone else believes in a supermarket or on the sidewalk. Definitely keep talking to your people, sharing ideas. If there's someone that's truly there to listen to you and wants to hear your perspective and they can respect you just like you can them, then by all means, share that. Plant the seed. Let them understand how truly insane the world is on both sides of the spectrum. All of a sudden, because Alex Jones prints up t-shirts saying that there's a war on for your soul, people are going to go out there and pay whatever the heck he's charging for these things. You didn't know that before? Of course you did. You got to have a t-shirt that proclaims it? No. You want to make this guy richer? No. Put that money in your pocket and go buy food for your family. Go out and finally stock up on the food that I've been telling you to stock up on for a really long time now. Put that money in the bank. Actually, no, wait, don't do that. But fill up your gas tank. Save that. One good thing is Jimmy Kimmel got pulled this week, but there are a lot of whispers. Of course, his station is owned by Disney. ABC is owned by Disney. In case you didn't know it, he might have just gotten pulled off temporarily until they can school him in what he can or cannot say on the air and then put him back on. This isn't a definitive. He's not going for good necessarily yet, although he should be. I've always had that feeling about him that he's somewhat of a creep. Yeah, he's got a sense of humor, but boy, his energy and his voice and his eyes have freaked me out since the first time I've seen him. I always got the impression that he wasn't a good individual. But Alex Jones, the prophet of protein powder himself, isn't bringing a lot to the table. Have you figured that out yet? King of crisis clickbait. He's like the Shakespeare of shouting. Everything with this guy is always DEFCON 1. And he's been predicting the end of the world for decades, but somehow we're still here. He's cried wolf a lot of times. I've had people call me up. Friends of mine. What's going on? I know where they're listening to. And he's always predicting the end of the world. He's the proverbial wolf.
Hell is gonna be released. Do you understand how desperate this is? How real this is?
But people still tune in. Because he doesn't sell information. He sells adrenaline. He's like a roller coaster. You kind of know it's not real, but you ride it anyway because your brain likes the drama. And maybe you'll buy some vitamins while you're at it. Him and Fear Reels are cousins. They're the same energy, but different platforms. One yells through a megaphone, the other whispers through lo-fi stock footage. Both of them want the same thing, though. Your attention, your fear, and quite possibly, your wallet. Look at that, he actually put little biscotti biscuit to sleep. But I'm not saying that he hasn't been right on some things, but there's been an awful lot he's been wrong on. And he wants to keep you in that state of hysteria. I've been talking to people for years about what's coming. I've told you the truth as I felt it and as I've been shown it, to the best of my ability. There are some things that I've held back just because it's not time to talk about them yet. And I want you guys to be in a state of calm and just breathing and doing those exercises that I've been given to you so that you're in a state where when something happens, you're prepared, you're not freaking out. You might be a little bit nervous or anxious, but you're able to use your God-given tools or your higher power tools, whatever it is that you believe, to bring yourself down to at least a relative state of balance to where you're able to think clearly and be able to carry through and do what you need to do to get yourself and your family to safety if you aren't there already. I share stories because I want you to be aware of what's out there. And I want you to be able to discern what's true from what's not. And I've said this before on my shows. There are some things occasionally that I put out there just to see if you're able to discern if they're real or not. It's not about trying to fool you in any way, shape, or form, but it's strengthening that brain muscle and your reactions, the way that your body reacts to certain things, so that if I can keep you in a positive, joyous, semi-normal state of balance, then when the shit hits the fan, you're going to be better equipped to deal with some of the things that are coming. But not everything that we read about or hear about is true. I've told you this before, they're harvesting our energy. And as much as they can incite fear, anxiety, violence, depression, even apathy, although that's not their main game, anything better than acting against the system in a peaceful, collaborative effort, anything that keeps you from joining with your neighbors and standing up and speaking at your public forums or protesting peacefully or changing things grassroots up is what they want to keep you from. A lot of these people are paid to put out the content that you're seeing. They want you to think a certain way. They want to brainwash you into thinking the way that they want you to think. I've mentioned him before, but I encourage all of you again to subscribe to Chase Hughes' channel and listen. He put out a video, I think it was last week or the week before, it was like a 22-minute video talking about the government and false flags. You can learn a lot from him. They don't want you to recognize your power. They don't want you to think independently. They certainly don't want you to be united. They want you hyped up, substanced up, vaxxed up, good little minions. But they'll take big pharma catharsis or a blubbering mass of anxiety hiding under your kitchen table like we did under our school desk back in the day. Oh, bomb drill. Oh, earthquake drill. Yeah, get under your desk or sit in single file in the hallway with a book on your head to protect you. They indoctrinated us back then to trust the plan. Get under your desk or sit in the hall with a book on your head and no harm will befall you. My girlfriend and I used to sit there under our desk tittering, laughing, making faces at each other. We both realized, even at a very young age, the stupidity of what they were making us do and how if there were a legitimate natural disaster, the desk wasn't going to do anything or the book on our head. But they taught us to be good little soldiers. Do what you're told. And as we grew into adolescence, we were indoctrinated through the entirety of the school system. And then, God forbid, we went to college and there was more of the same, only worse. We grew up to be people. Oh, trust the plan. You see viable proof of what's going on all around you? Don't believe that. Believe the mainstream media. Or believe the mainstream media. No matter how foolish or ridiculous it seems, don't use your critical judgment. Just listen to what they tell you. Do what you're told. And me as a kid, when I got forced to go under my chair, under my desk, I was grabbing my little Roadrunner or Holly Hobby or whatever it was that year's lunchbox because I'm thinking, hey, if I'm going to be stuck under the rubble, I'm going to have my cup of cola, my salami, my mozzarella to go along with it. But boy, did I get in trouble for that. We weren't supposed to be bringing food with us. Are you kidding? And increasing our chances of relative survival? And we couldn't talk and laugh about it because this was a serious situation. I got in big trouble for telling somebody that my lunchbox, the tin ones, could also double as a weapon. Have you ever been conked in the head with one of those or one of those thick plastic thermos bottles that came with the box? It was better than nothing. And in what could have been potentially a very stressful situation, kids around me were sniveling and crying and, oh, we gotta get under the desk. It might be a bomb coming. Did you hear there might be a bomb coming? I'm trying to lighten the mood and lift everybody's spirits. So I guess even back then I was a prepper and a healer and just didn't know it. Other kids were tempted to go for their teddy bears. I was grabbing the pepperoni. Part of the reason I got the nickname in like the third grade of being a chatterbox, and I won't share with you the nickname because these were nuns that were giving us these nicknames and they weren't very nice, was because I would talk to my friends about the ridiculousness of some of the situations and the rules that they had. I was a good kid, make no mistake. I listened to what they told me within reason. But if I thought something was messed up, my friends and I would discuss it. If they were going to target a school, would it be better for me to cut loose and run the two blocks home and have better chances of survival? I mean, I had weapons at home. And yeah, I was social. I wanted to see how people's moms were doing, how their siblings were doing, how people were doing in their family environments. We talked and we shared things. We healed each other. My group of friends and myself had hiding places and safe zones that we would meet up at. And I was pretty sure, even back then, that my chances of survival would have greatly improved if I were with those guys than trapped under my desk. I knew any one of them would have my back just like I did theirs. Even back then, I had this small sense of community with people that I trusted. And I would lay odds that my best friend's mom was much more fierce, ferocious, and protective, and would give her life for either her daughter or myself over any one of the staff at the school. Movies that were popular when we were in like high school, early high school, like Red Dawn, would never have been the box office hits today that they were back then. The paratroopers would have landed in the football field and the kids wouldn't run into the woods. They would be whipping out their phones. Yo, this is a TikTok. Is this a prank? Somebody get Mr. Beast on the line. I bet if I survive, I can get like 100,000 followers minimum. Or the college kids. Wait, are they even using gender-inclusive language when demanding our surrender? Because if not, that's problematic. The old Red Dawn kids would be crouched in the woods wondering about survival rations, water sources, guerrilla tactics. These kids arguing about whether or not to live stream the invasion on Twitch or Instagram. Or saying, before we do anything drastic, can we form a committee to deconstruct the colonialist undertones of this occupation? And then somebody actually suggests fighting back. The high schoolers would be like, I can't. I've got Fortnite practice at 6. Or the college kids, do you realize how violent resistance perpetuates cycles of oppression? Let's write a strongly worded Medium post. And the cherry on top, when they finally do try to do something radical, it wouldn't be booby traps or ambushes. It would be a flash mob protest in front of the tanks with signs saying, stop the invasion, we haven't consented. The enemy soldiers, they were so confused they would almost leave, but then realize this is the easiest occupation in history. By the time the Wolverines of 1984 came out of hiding, the 2025 kids have been taken hostage, but are still debating whether oppression really exists if you call it a cultural exchange. Grandpa in his red flannel shirt would be saying, back in my day, we didn't record the invasion, we fought it. You think Patton was out here worrying about hashtags? College kid would be saying, Grandpa, violence isn't the answer. Grandpa loads a shotgun. You're right. Violence is the question. And the answer is yes. Just keep in mind, for anybody who wants to say that I'm inciting violence or anything, that was in an invasion-type situation. Remember the context of which we were speaking. And it was meant to be funny, however accurate for a boomer or Gen Xer the response may have been. So as the dust settles a little more on the whole Charlie Kirk scenario, again, let me reiterate that it's not that I don't show compassion or empathy for anyone that's gotten hurt. And if he did get shot and killed, there's more information coming to the surface that it may have been an Israeli attack, especially since it's now come to light that supposedly they funded some of the TPUSA or most of the TPUSA organization. And then the last couple of days before Charlie was shot, he seemed to change his tune a little bit. So whether or not he was shot by Israeli operatives or he was not shot shot, pretended to be offed, and then shipped away to a safe place, or whether or not you just really believe that the guy that they're saying is the shooter was really the shooter. I'm wondering how much you paid attention to it this week. How much time and energy of yours did you devote to this story? Because as little or as much as you have devoted to your time to this story this week, you've taken your energy away from maybe your family or your animals or a chore that you needed to do. In doing your research and in doing your homework, what is your opinion of what really happened now? The general consensus of everything that I've watched and everybody that I've spoken to is unanimous that we are not being told the truth.
Shenanigans! Shenanigans!
What are you doing?
I'm declaring shenanigans on you.
And they don't think we deserve to know the truth.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
It's just another diversion tactic.
Smart people don't dam the river off. Smart people divert rivers. So where do you want to divert the river?
A couple of things that we didn't talk about last week was his wife's ring, which had a G on it in diamonds, that some people are saying was the Masonic G.
In less than 36 hours. 33 to be precise, thanks to the full weight of the federal government and leading out with the partners here in the state of Utah, Governor Cox, the suspect was apprehended in a historic time period.
That was a clippy of Kash Patel, courtesy of Illuminating Eye, where he was throwing out the number 33. When Charlie was speaking, there were 347 hats in a row on the table to, I think it was his left, and some people are saying 11 plus 11 plus 11, 4 plus 7, 4 plus 7, 4 plus 7 equals 33. There's also a picture that's been brought to light of Charlie Kirk with Candace Owens, and they're both sitting at a table making the Illuminati hand sign. And it is a way that some people tend to sit with their hands in sort of like a triangular shape, but it's kind of weird that they're both doing the same hand signal at the same time. And speaking of hands, the corpse's hands are strangely yellowish orange. Not at all what you would see in a typical embalmed body. It looks like a fake hand, a prosthetic hand. Look at the picture and see what you think. In the picture that I've been seeing, his wife's hand is over his supposed hand, and she's got that pinky, fleshy color to her hands. In stark contrast to his, they look orangey. In the one frame that I saw, somebody took a screenshot. They had asked ChatGPT, and ChatGPT seems to think it's a silicone hand. And then there's the whole gun thing. Let's listen to Michael Savage, courtesy of Illuminating Eye.
Did anyone see that press conference by the so-called FBI? Something's wrong. I know I shouldn't do this. I'm risking an awful lot to go up against this FBI, the MAGA FBI. Something's very wrong with what I just heard. So we saw a video of a person jumping off the roof. It looked very legitimate to me. However, there was no rifle in his hand. Now, the Mauser does not break down very easily, incidentally, for those of you who know weapons. Something's wrong with the whole thing. They're trying to claim he removed the barrel from the Mauser and fit the receiver and stock in his backpack and barrel in his pants, like, all in 2 seconds. It is not easy to remove a Mauser barrel or index it after reinstalling and remain accurate. We are not hearing or seeing reality. And by the way, the photo of the rifle allegedly left in the woods has the barrel installed. So we're supposed to believe a guy is on the run after killing Charlie Kirk, and he pauses in the woods to reinstall a barrel, and then he leaves it for us to find, the FBI to find. I don't believe a word of it. I shouldn't do this. I know I'm putting myself at risk, but I can't take it anymore. I can't take the from this.
I think Charlie Kirk was a brilliant man. I think he was an amazing conversationalist. He was absolutely amazing at debating, and he did so in a respectful and in a polite manner, but also with conviction. And if he did in fact turn against Israel, and they had been supporting him before that, he may have known that his life might have been in danger, and it's very possible that either he or some political figures that had power that were allies with him arranged to have it look as though he was murdered so that they could get him and his family safe. It's one scenario. If he was truly murdered, we went into all of that in great detail last week. It's just an obscene, animalistic, horrible, very disgusting crime that shouldn't be allowed to happen. And our energy and our prayers and our positive, healing, collaborative energy should be focused on all of the people that were involved, not only in this event, but just like I spoke about last week, in the lives of anybody who has suffered at the hands of a crime, a terrible crime. And he was and is absolutely being perceived as a martyr type figure, which, as bitter a pill as it may be to swallow, would further certain agendas greatly if you think about it. And just like last week, I will reiterate that we need to pay attention to the things that were happening and continue to happen behind the scenes. So what do you think happened? Here's what I think.
Got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today.
Let's get into some other conspiracy theories, because we've wasted way too much time on this one. Featured channel of the week is Illuminating Eye, and that's who brings us this next video.
Censoring the internet this urgent, because right now governments across the world are killing the free internet in lockstep. The UK's Online Safety Act just went live. They say it's to protect children, but now you need to upload an ID to use Spotify, YouTube, and even Google. You refuse? Account deleted. Everyone is treated like a child until proven adult. As a result, VPN signups in the UK are up 1,400%. Australia demanding backdoors into encrypted messages. And in the US, Congress just introduced the Screen Act and the Kids Online Safety Act, copying the same exact blueprint we see abroad. And now, in America, starting on August 13th, YouTube will use AI to estimate your age based on your viewing habits. If it guesses you're under 18, you'll be forced to upload a government ID. And Spotify, they now require face scans to access age-restricted content in the UK. Europe votes this fall on Chat Control 2.0, scanning every single photo, message, and email on your phone, encrypted or not. Small websites, they can't afford to comply, so they're just blocking entire countries. The internet is literally shrinking, and a surveillance grid is being set up around the remnants. A digital gulag where your photos, your searches, and your payments are logged and can be used against you. So again, why now? Why all at once? Because a globally coordinated initiative between nation states and major corporations does not just pop up overnight. What can you do? Download a VPN. Get on decentralized platforms like Nostr and learn peer-to-peer money like Bitcoin. Because soon, it won't just be your data at risk, it can be your freedom.
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at MAGGIE_HEART at Outlook.com to get it fixed.
I've shared videos like that one in the past month. It does appear as though it's coming. Get ready, folks. Now, anybody that knows me knows I'm not a Bitcoin kind of girl.
Just wonder if you're one of them girls, cause I'm one of them boys.
So we had Zach Brown, Steve Miller Band, and now Lee Bryce. But if you are one of them boys that worries about XPC, you're going to want to listen to these next two videos closely from Illuminating Eye.
You've never seen this anywhere else. This is Ripple Trade Japan. Now, what's the big deal is Japan's banks are going all in on XRP, not Bitcoin, not Ethereum. In a historic move, Japan's entire banking sector is set to adopt Ripple's XRP cryptocurrency next week, shaking up the global financial landscape. You got SBI involved in this. Now, if you watch Crypto Hulk, you would have known this years ago. You got Cyberbank. What is this? Japan's first Ripple ATM and issues Ripple cash cards. This is 2014. This is like 11 years ago. This is all planned out. What do we got right here? Ripple Trade Japan. You could look up that crypto wallet address right there on the XRP scan. Okay? Next, Ripple Trade Japan. When is this? 2014. Who is involved in this? Well, looky here, it's SBI. Since 11 years ago, day one, they've been planning this out. Man, they must be tired. I'm tired of waiting. My name's Crypto Hulk. I don't think we're going to have to wait too much longer. I think May 2025, something's going to happen.
It's always in the movies.
In the movies.
The Matrix, Terminator.
Crypto was in The Matrix.
Really?
Yes. In the movie The Matrix, Neo, when he's getting interrogated by Agent Smith. If you look on the building where he works, there's a logo on the building. What is that logo? It's an X. But it's not just a regular X. It's actually the XRP logo that we see today. Also, XRP was in another movie. Old movie from 1992 called Sneakers. About hackers trying to hack the Federal Reserve. They pull up a screen in the movie. The security bar where it says, you know, security clearance and all that sort of stuff. XRP shows up on the screen as well. XRP has a partnership not only with the Federal Reserve, but also Amex.
These are facts.
So payment process systems that they're creating this new regulatory framework. XRP is at the center of it. They always show you in the movies.
And one more for a hat trick.
The market is going to crash 90% after November 22nd. And big money is currently preparing right now. Big financial institutions like BlackRock, Fidelity, and ARK are selling hundreds and millions of Bitcoin and Ethereum. But a crypto that they're not selling right now is XRP, because they know that on November 22nd, XRP is going to integrate with the SWIFT banking system, and an ETF is also going to go live. This is why, from now till November 22nd, you have to build your bag and get into XRP right now if you haven't. It's currently at $2.80, and we won't see this number ever again. It's going to skyrocket after November 22nd, and if you miss out on this date, you're going to lose everything.
Now, if you were paying attention, I know in the first video, the guy said that it should be instituted by May, where Japanese banks are all going to the XRP. But as you all know, sometimes things take a little bit longer. So just something to watch out for. Next up, Scott McKay is interviewing Dr. Robert Young on the dangers of RF radiation, also from Illuminating Eye. Not necessarily a fan of the host, but Dr. Robert Young's information is important.
It's very important. Listen to me. I'm serious about this, and I put my life on the line. Okay. You know, I'm not saying this in the comfort of my home. I'm not saying this, you know, in the comfort of my lab or anything. I'm saying this out of survival and concern for the human race, for my family. Everybody needs the antidote to protect them against a phantom virus that doesn't even exist. All of the symptoms are caused by radiation poisoning delivered by a network of 4G, 5G technology. And they can turn that frequency up, and the LDA, the lethal dose is 42 gigahertz and up. It takes 100% of the people out. They can do it gradually. They can say it incubates for 7 to 14 days. That's not true. It incubates depending on if they just keep increasing the frequency gradually. And what happens is it throws the body into pathological blood coagulation, causes excess acidity, causes reverse polarity. The symptoms, encephalitis, brain inflammation, it's one of the major causes of death, is caused by radiation poisoning. Listen to me. This is not a virus. This is direct assault on the human body from electromagnetic fields that are oscillating in the gigahertz range. And they can control that to make it look like, oh, there's an incubation period. Or they can make it look like, oh, you've been transfected by somebody who's been exposed. This is all lies. All lies. Everyone's at risk that owns a cell phone. Everyone is at risk who has a wireless. Everyone is at risk if they don't have the antidote to disarm the technology. That's why I was all over this. This is why I published. I did it at the risk of my own life. I'm in jail because I exposed this technology.
He was in jail, so the background noise was from that clip. It is a little bit older, but the information is still pertinent. This is why I tell you, shut down your computers, get away from your phones as much as you possibly can. Don't sleep with your phones anywhere near your head. Keep them across the room. Shut them down as much as possible. And detox, detox, detox. Especially if you have any loved ones that you know that have taken the jab. Please follow these protocols and get the heavy metals and the toxins out of your bodies. This next clip is from Sabrina Wallace. You may need to play it a couple of times. She's got so much information and talks so quickly. I absolutely recommend you check her out. She does come across as a little bit crazy, but the information that she brings out is mind-boggling.
When you ignore things that are legally entered into Pentagon directives, college textbooks, and other legal documents that are required by universities for PhDs, that's going to catch up to you. And when you decide that you're too stupid, you can't understand, well, that's how we end up with an intelligent cluster-based routing protocol and going through the human body. And people are out there right now telling you none of this is real. There's no computer networking through the human body. If there was, someone would have told us. Now, watch this. This is the Synergy Tech Metric PDF. Now, these papers are not just from the MDPI. They're not only from Cambridge. They're not only from your LSVR journal. They're not only from Wiley. They're from everywhere. And when I type in emergent technology on Wikipedia, I'm told that the blockchain Bitcoin is not here yet. So that means that Bitcoin, 3D printing, nanotechnology is not in use. So for any of you right now that have a Bitcoin wallet, you're having a mass hallucination. I'm not joking. I'm not being hyperbolic. This says energy harvesting. Yeah. What kind of energy are they harvesting? Human. Kinetic. Intragalvanic. Piezoelectric. Energy. Now you're going to tell me, oh, there's just no way. We don't have wireless sensor networks. And I said and showed, we've had biosensors since the 1950s. So what we have had to endure for 5 years are psychological operations. And then everyone goes, well, that's their job and they have to do it. They're killing people. It's called a kill box. They are killing people. And whoever you are, you're letting them. You're not reading. You're not holding yourself accountable to the fact that when you eat your lunch, it doesn't come out your posterior in the same physical fashion because you have an electrical biochemical digestive tract with an electrical biochemical heart and electrical biochemical bloodstream neurotransmitters. No, no, there's no such thing. Okay? Here's Agenda 2030. And I'm looking at this situation going, well, I was 19 years old. It's 1998. We're going from dial-up to broadband. Now we're broadband cable modems. Now we're going cable modem to body area network. And what did you all do? UFOs. And I'm going, this isn't going to go well. Wait till you find out your Nibiru is... Wait till you find out all these things they told you for the past 15 years. It's total. I'm an ISV. Big denial. I know what's going on. No, you don't. And you didn't. And neither did anybody else. Those are called operations. Courtesy, once again, of the people who are running the nation. Okay, so what the is really going on? It's a bio-cyber interface. We said, based on universities, symposiums, and business. So our channel, nobody afraid, nobody all, oh my God, nope. We're sitting here going, I told you, they paid for this. This is what they're doing. They turn the body itself into a wire so that your data is more secure. You're routing the data, you're saving the data, your fat tissue is routing the data, it's very specific. And they've been working it all out for over 15 years of upgrades since 1995, 30 years with companies. No R&D, not hidden in the military, wide open. So, here we are again, and the Drudge Report looks like a nightmare to people who are unaware that that's business. In order to keep your data secure, your body is connected to the cloud. You are to be augmented. Period. You didn't get a choice. Yeah, it's written that way. In business. 2021. We're going to tear down 5G towers. We had to done that at least 8 years ago. That didn't happen. They're in the 6G now. Standardization. The 6G is your body. It's called the Body Area Network, 1995. Did anybody want to talk about it? Nope, it's business. We can talk about that. So now, what you're going to find out, all of you that are creators, and I'm sorry, I really am, because it seems like a lot of people, because they were lied to about Mac IDs, that was horrible. Anybody could have told you what it was. They just decided they like knowing something you don't.
Okay, I threw a second video in there by Sabrina Wallace, and again, this is all for entertainment purposes only, right? We've been talking for a while about the personality changes of people who have taken the jab, and I found this clippy of a study done in Italy that you might find interesting. Also, that illuminating eye shared. I like this channel, but I don't like the fact that they don't list the original sources of the videos.
I want to add also a comment to what Tina said about the change in personality, depression, and all these things. This is very real, and we have identified the reasons from the theory, and some doctors in Italy have, some pathologists have confirmed that. The spike protein, unfortunately, attacks and destroys also the endocrine system. So the glands producing hormones, and hormones are what make our emotions and feelings and all those things. And so an Italian pathologist near Venice, he went on a newspaper telling that all the brains he had investigated, he found the pineal gland completely destroyed on all the people were vaccinated. Okay, so the spike protein is also very dangerous for the endocrine system. That's why people have these changes in personality. And
mamma mia. The next clip is ex-CIA agent Sarah Adams, who's warning us of an upcoming terrorist attack in America. This is an interview. I think she's been on Sean Ryan. I'm not sure. I know I've seen her somewhere else, but this clip is put out by My Life, Your Life Project.
Public to be aware of, and the terrorists did this in doing the Israel attacks, is they're going to target first responders, and they want to make it so first responders can't get to the victims, right? So you have to kind of think about, okay, what if there's no response to where I am for many, many hours, right? Like, how can I sustain myself? Can I do basic medical? Now then, if you're a first responder, you know, a lot of our law enforcement are trained on active shooter, which is one shooter. These terrorists trained in 5 to 7, 8 to 10-man teams. So if you're not having drills where there's multiple shooters in multiple parts of your city and training and practicing that way, right, you're not going to be prepared and you're going to be shocked. And then the last part is, which Americans aren't prepared for at all, is there's going to be suicide bombings involved in this plot. You know, a lot of them will be focused on federal buildings, but then there's a huge aviation plot again that involves suicide vests. Our TSA isn't taking this seriously. They haven't improved airport security. So the millimeter wave scanner stopped the suicide vest. You cannot walk through it. There's been no effort to put more people through those scanners. So you can walk through like a magnetometer just fine, get on an airplane with one of these vests. So until our government starts also taking this plot seriously, you know, we're in a pretty bad situation.
I know we talked last week about the doom and gloom that's supposedly coming this week, right? Actually, we're on the cusp. As I record, it's the 21st. We're looking at the 22nd to 25th. I haven't seen an actual vision, but I've been getting promptings for several months regarding a major culture event around New York. And it's not going to be pretty, and it's going to be worse than 9/11. It's a natural disaster or an attack. It could be either one. I haven't been shown this, though. Years ago, I was. But recently, these things have been coming to mind. Remember when you had that dream and when you had that vision? And the energy around that has been, for me, significantly upped the past couple of weeks. But I have to say that I think a lot of what I've been feeling is the energy of everybody else on the planet who is reading these headlines, soaking up these stories, saying, oh, rapture the 25th, natural disaster, attacks on the cities, impending war. And because I'm so sensitive, I feel all of that energy, and it's swirling, and it's extremely powerful to the negative. So I've needed to stop and sit back and focus on all of this and figure out, what does that mean for me? Is my reminders that I've been having of what I've been shown years ago, is it actually the time for that stuff to be happening now? Or is it a combination of the energies that I'm feeling on the planet in conjunction with remembering that I had that vision? Remains to be seen. I haven't been shown a very clear-cut instance of something happening this week in New York yet. I do feel like the more imminent threat is absolutely something of a terrorist nature, though, just to give you a heads up with that. Also, I've been like overwhelmed with seeing planes and being told, do not fly. Tell everybody that you know to stay off of planes. I've actually been shown this a long time ago, so I very, very rarely fly. I haven't in years. So I would definitely caution you all against that. If you're planning on going on a trip, I would recommend driving. If you see something going on in your community that looks sketchy, or a guy that looks sketchy, phone it into the police department. The potential for someone being hurt is a legitimate reason to do that.
At the heart of every legend, there is truth. A few brave souls unite to save their worlds. We can be heroes in our own lives. Every one of us, if we only have the courage to try.
Also, I've warned you before, be prepared in case of a grid going down type situation, but I also will stress, see the results that you want to see happen. Let's make sure that we are putting our energy towards seeing what we want versus what the bad guys would like to see happen. Always put protection around yourself and your family, pray, meditate, and use your discernment. Okay, I wanted to play a couple of clippies about this next subject because it's been such a hot topic. The first one is from Jonathan Kahn, the second from Truth Shall Set You Free.
This is Jonathan Kahn, and I've been asked to speak and address the idea or the message that's been spreading that's viral, that there's going to be the rapture. It will fall on this September of 2025 on Rosh Hashanah. First of all, without seeing more, a few things. Will the rapture or the return of Messiah be linked to the Feast of Trumpets? There is a good possibility that an event like the rapture or the second coming linked to those things are going to be linked to Jewish holidays, because the first coming of the Lord, all these things fell on Jewish or biblical Hebrew holy days. The salvation of Messiah, the death of Messiah, the Lamb of God, on the day of the Lamb, of the Passover Lamb, he died. Then the day of the resurrection, on the day of the first fruits, came as the first fruits of new life from death. Well, that's the Hebrew feast of the first fruits of the harvest. And then you count it out 50 days later, the day of Pentecost on a Hebrew holiday, which is called Shavuot, which in Greek is called Pentecost. It's a Jewish holiday. So all these things happen on Jewish holidays, the first coming. And the amazing thing is when you look at the second part of the Hebrew year, it's the fall, it's the autumn. And all those holy days are linked to the themes of the second coming or the kingdom. And in the middle of that, you've got summer. You got the harvest, and we are in the harvest right now. Autumn holy days are the Feast of Trumpets, and then it is the Day of Atonement, the day when you stand before God to salvation. And so that would go with the Day of the Lord, when we all stand before Him. And then comes the Feast of Tabernacles, which is all about celebration. It's all about the kingdom, and that's what the kingdom's going to come on earth. And then it goes after that, looking forward to heaven. So all these things line up. But what about the Feast of Trumpets? Well, the Feast of Trumpets, it's all about a day of sounding the shofar, sounding the trumpets. Well, that is the themes of the coming of the Lord. When you look at the Bible and you look at the prophecies of the coming of the Lord, you see trumpets. And trumpets are always about the latter part of the sacred year. So this is about the latter part of the age. It's a latter sign. And so you have the trumpets. It says the Lord will come with trumpet sound. The dead will be raised up with the sound of the trumpet. We will be gathered together with the sound of the trumpet. And then the seven angels sound their trumpets in Revelation. The seventh angel sounds his trumpet, and the mystery of God is finished. Okay. So the thing is there a good chance, a possibility that the rapture can happen linked to, or these events linked to, the Feast of Trumpets? Yeah.
That from the Feast of Trumpets in 2025 to the Feast of Atonement in 2032, there are exactly 2,550 days. That's the precise length of the tribulation spoken of in the book of Daniel. 1,260 days plus another 1,290 days. Here's what's incredible. Since Israel became a nation in 1948, this exact alignment has only happened six times. In 2025, it will be the seventh time, and after that, it will never happen again in history. The Feast of Trumpets has always been seen as a picture of the rapture, when the trumpet will sound and the church will be caught up. And Daniel makes it clear, the tribulation is a fixed time of exactly 2,550 days. That means this year's Feast of Trumpets could mark the start of everything, the rapture, and the countdown to Jesus returning at the end of the tribulation.
The scripture says that not even Jesus knows the day or hour.
How is that possible?
Exactly.
No, but how is that possible? If he's God and he's all-knowing.
Right, so he's man and God.
He limits himself.
Exactly. So I think that's the limitation, where he's just man. Because obviously he had to eat while he was here on earth. He had to do many humanly things. He wasn't just doing magic tricks left and right. And so if Jesus didn't even know the day or hour, obviously we're not going to know the day or hour. So when I see the billboards all over the place that are saying he's returning at this exact date, you think, well, they've been wrong a million times, for one. And two, again, if Jesus doesn't know, we don't know.
One of the things I want to note in Jonathan Kahn's clippy is that he does believe there's a strong possibility that the rapture or second coming could be linked to Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, but he does not set a specific date like September 2025 and warns against such a date setting. He advises believers to be ready at all times, but not to base their faith on a specific predicted date, as the Bible states the day and hour are unknown. That was taken from the internet. He also cautions people not to treat specific date predictions as dogmatic truths or to rely solely on a date for their faith. Time for my happy uplifting video by request. This clippy is from That Good News Girl.
Happy, everybody, happy, happy, happy.
The Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg, Russia employs a small army of around 70 cats that help protect the artwork. And they're so important that they have 3 full-time employees and countless volunteers dedicated to their care and their own press secretary. The tradition dates back to 1745, when Empress Elizabeth ordered the finest cats of Kazan to be sent to her winter palace to chase off mice that had started nibbling on her artwork. When the palace later became the Hermitage Museum, the cats stayed on as permanent staff. And over time, both the cat workforce and the art collection grew, with Catherine the Great granting all Hermitage cats official status as guardians of the art galleries. Now, nearly 300 years later, the cats' jobs are really more symbolic, since just their presence keeps rodents from coming around at all anymore. But the whole operation isn't just for show. It's actually helping take cats off the streets of St. Petersburg and helping them to find permanent homes. The museum regularly takes in strays, allowing them to live like royalty in the courtyards and the sprawling basement, though they're not allowed in the galleries themselves anymore. Their setup is complete with their own vet facility, feeding stations, and heated sleeping nooks, but they're also adoptable, and visitors consider it an honor to adopt a Hermitage cat. While they are in the care of the museum, their press secretary Maria manages their public appearances and organizes events in their honor, and she loves this job so much that she keeps it despite her own cat allergy. These cats are highly respected as the spirit of the palace, watching over both the art and soul of the museum. I'm Jen, and I post something positive every day.
And now some comedy. This clip is from Derek Lip.
Hey guys, it's my son. Give me a second. Derek, I'm not home. I'm at book club. What's up?
You lying loser. You are not part of a book club.
Yes, I am. We meet every Wednesday at the bar.
There's no way you guys are reading books at a bar. What book you reading? To Kill a Mockingbird?
You are such an idiot.
Are you guys reading between the lines?
You do realize that we're not reading the book at the bar. We read it in advance, and then we talk about it at the bar. It's fun.
That is so stupid. That sounds like an excuse for a bunch of women to go out on a Wednesday and drink without their kids.
You want to come up here, Derek?
Absolutely not. You think I'd want to be seen with a bunch of weirdos talking books? Where are you guys at anyways?
Nick and Jimmy's.
All right, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Well, possibly I should concentrate on acquiring you a bookcase first.
That's okay. I kind of like my system.
Organized chaos?
Exactly.
Very well, we'll carry on.
The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at All Music, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. It's Gen X time with Gen X Jono.
So apparently Gen Z's credit scores are tanking. Dude, Gen X, we get it. We've also struggled with credit and learned about credit the same way we learned about everything else, the hard way. You see, back in the 80s and 90s, we didn't have apps or online pre-approvals. No, we had a lady sitting outside of Sears with a folding card table earning $5 per application. I think her name was Doris. Doris promised me a $200 credit line and a great way to build my credit. Bonus, I also got a stack of useless coupons and my first date with a collection agency. Wouldn't be my last. And then there was college. Banks descended upon our campuses like locusts on a field. They handed out free t-shirts, footballs, and frisbees in exchange for our financial souls. And believe me, when I use the term free, I'm using it lightly. Fees, interest, and shame made them some of the most expensive things I acquired in college. But at least I got a stacked stereo system out of the deal. First thing I ever bought with a credit card. Yeah, so Gen Z, don't worry. Credit score, temporarily tanking. But at least you got an education out of it. It's student loans that you have to blame. We tanked ours for a Frisbee, a $10 hoodie, a really pioneer stack stereo system. Actually, when I put it that way, kind of worth it.
Excellent!
And that's my show for tonight, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll see you all next week. Good night, cannolis.